Chapter 8 is where we're at. That was good. Get a little VBS singing. Good job, Michelle. And the Long Ranger. All right. John chapter 8, verse 42. Talk to you today about two fathers. Two fathers. Sunday school was kind of about God as a father. We talked about that. And I want to show you two fathers in the Bible. Man, that's really loud. Is that loud to y'all? That one's off. All right. Some people do. John chapter 8, verse 42. Two fathers. Now, I want to show you in the Bible and make some application with it in our lives about God as a father and the devil as a father. Because there are two, spiritually, there are two fathers in the Bible. And I think some of these are you'll find a familiar verse in here. But John chapter 8, verse 42 says this: Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me." That goes along with the, we looked at it Wednesday nights ago, but God the Father as the originator of all generosity and giving, and he is a good God. And so Jesus Christ says, I didn't do this of myself. He sent me. Verse 43, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God." Let's pray. And you see from verse 41, you see that God is a father. And then in verse 44, you see also that the devil is a father. And those are the only two spiritual fathers there are, and you are a child of one of those. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, but let's pray, and we'll talk about these two fathers this morning. Father, thank you for your words, and I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that if anybody here is not saved, Lord, that today would be the day of their salvation. They'd understand their need for Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would understand their sin before you, and not that you're a mean and bad and hurtful God, but, Father, that you want folks to be saved, and you've made a way that they could come before your throne boldly. Lord, I pray you today would be the day of their salvation. Those that don't understand it would understand it. And for those that are saved and trusted Jesus Christ, it would be some encouragement and some admonition, some instruction, some comfort. And Lord, you just help us and instruct us from these words here. And I pray you'd help me, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm just, Lord, I just don't even sometimes know why I'm up here and have the opportunity to do this, Lord. You just are so good, and it's a privilege to be in the ministry. It's a privilege to serve you, even though I don't do that well. Lord, I pray you'd help me this morning, and in Jesus' name, amen. So God and Satan are fathers in these verses. I think you saw that. And I'll give you three things from these verses about childhood, fatherhood, characteristics of children, all these things that revolve around that relationship of having a father and being a child and things like that. The first thing to notice and the first thing I want to point out to you is a person becomes a father naturally, you know, when children are conceived and born. And the same is true, not in the same sense, but the same truth applies to God and the devil as fathers. That a person is born into, or they are conceived, and the conception of children, just want to show you how that works between either God the Father or the devil as a father. Because both of them bring forth, God the Father brings forth children a certain way, and the devil brings forth children a certain way. And so the devil's main, put it this way, the devil's way of bringing forth children is through temptation, pleasures in the flesh. That's how he creates children. God's way of creating children is not pleasure, it's promise. It's faith, it's the words of God, which is one of the subjects here that Jesus Christ is dealing with these folks about, that they're not listening, they don't hear the words of God. And if they were God's children, if they were of God, then they would have God's words and they would hear God's words and they would apply God's words. But they don't. And so what they're doing is the lust of their father, which is the devil. And it's not that it's the lusts that are outside the body. All you have to do to become a child of the devil produces children by bringing out something that's already in you. This is a show you a verse on this. I'll tell you what, I'll read it to you. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So God didn't make you the way you are. You can't blame God on your sin. God didn't put you in a position to sin. God isn't making you sin. Every person, every man, every woman, every child is tempted when something is brought out that's already in them. But don't say that came from God. Don't say you got into this sin because God led you into it or made you do it. Something was brought out through temptation. Here's the rest of that. "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So it's just like baiting a fish or setting a trap, and you appeal to the natural, what's already in the animal, and you draw them out by appealing to what's already in them. That's the way the devil works. He puts something in front of you and he draws something out of you that's already in you. He's not creating something new in you. He's not making you his child. The way you are conceived as a child of the devil is he draws this thing that's naturally already in you out. You and I are born in Adam's line, and so we're conceived in iniquity and all that stuff. We have corruptible flesh and all that kind of thing. So we live in these bodies that have a natural state of corruption to them. And so the devil just, when he makes children, the conception of his children is he tempts and he draws out something that's already in them. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So when lust meets opportunity, here's the devil, he puts the opportunity in front of the lust, and you don't have anything to stop the lust. And so when the lust meets the opportunity, now you've brought forth sin. And the end of that sin is always death. There isn't another option to that. Lust, opportunity, temptation, you put those things together, they make what's called sin, and sin brings forth death. He says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So the devil produces children through temptation of the lust that's already in you. That's what you just read in John 8. He said, you're of the father, your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. And he starts naming off the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, he starts naming off the fruits of the works of the flesh, the murder and all that stuff, the lies and all those things. Those are things that come with the equipment, the natural equipment you are born with and I'm born with. Paul said it this way in Ephesians 2. He said, we were by nature the children of wrath. It was our natural course to find a temptation and gravitate towards that temptation to disobey mom and dad, to get into something we shouldn't get into. It was chase after money, to chase after relationships, to chase after whatever. It was naturally in us to do that, to lie. It was naturally in us. No one had to, and I know you've heard it 100,000 times, but no one had to teach you how to lie. That was just something you knew how to do when you got in trouble. You knew how to manipulate the situation, and you learn over time how to better manipulate things and how to deceive and things like that. The point is, those are things that come naturally. There's not an outside force that needs to create that in you. You're born in Adam's line with all that natural equipment, and by nature, you and I are the children of wrath, the Bible says. And so all the devil needs is, he just needs to put something in the way there to draw out what's already there. So if a fish is hungry and you throw some bait towards it, throw it its way, what you're doing is it will gravitate by what's already in it, by its own appetite, towards that thing that you've put in front of it, that temptation. And once it grabs onto that, you'll pull that thing out of the water and it'll be dead. That's it. Appetite, temptation, put them together, death. That's children of the devil. The devil is a father. He has children. The way he has children is through temptation. And so that story plays out over and over and over and over a million times on a daily basis, and it's probably familiar to everybody here. It's familiar to me too. On the other hand, God is also a father. But God isn't a father by appealing to your lust. He's not a father by appealing to the things that are inside of you. What God wants to do is put something inside of you. Not appeal to something that's already of the flesh and by the flesh and all that stuff. He wants to reveal to you something and put something inside of you so that you will become his child. So the way that happens is he gives you his words, and a person based on the words of God now, the promises of God, they will either believe what they read or hear, or they won't believe it. And that's the way a child of God is produced. Here's the verse. It says in 1 Peter, just read it to you. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Listen to this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So on the one hand, the devil is a father by pleasure. Just appeals to the pleasure, something that's already there, and he'll drag you away. And if you're chasing pleasures, you can be sure that that is a dead end. On the other hand, God is a father by promises. And so he gives his word, and whatever someone does with that word of God, that will determine what God can do with them. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, which is how you and I are born the first time, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There are two ways, and I think you understand them now, that children are conceived by either the devil or conceived by God. One, by pleasure. That's how the devil produces children. And people chasing pleasure and trying to satisfy lust are running a dead-end life. Worse than that. Worse than that. A life headed for the judgment of God. Not because God's mean, not because he's hateful, because what you are going to find is chasing pleasure means I am opposed to what God has said. So it's not just I chase pleasure and it's kind of it's not bad, it's not good, it's just me chasing pleasure. What you're going to find is chasing pleasure is at enmity with what God has said to do. You've got fornication, you've got adultery, or you've got marriage. You've got telling the truth, or you've got telling lies. You've got faith in the words of God, or you've got ignoring the words of God to do whatever you want to do. So what you're going to find is these two things are at enmity. They don't line up with each other. You can't do one and the other. They're fighting against each other. They're going in separate directions. The Bible says they're at enmity with each other, that these things are not conducive to each other. So it's not that God doesn't want you to have fun. God knows how to have fun. He knows how to live a productive life, and he's trying to keep you out of a pig pen. He's trying to keep you out of a judgment. He's trying to keep you away from harm. It's not that he hates smiling and joy and things like that. Those are fruits of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, those are all things that come from God. So on the one hand, as far as the conception of children, God is a father based on promises. The devil is a father based on pleasure. Simple way of putting those things. Second thing is, if you have God as a father, or if you have the devil as a father, like father, like son, just like Jesus Christ said, you're of your father, the devil. Therefore, here's how you're going to behave. So it's like father, like son. So there are characteristics of children, right? Everybody here has a mom and a dad. You're children of someone, and so you took on the characteristics of your parents. You are a human being. You have two eyes, two ears, two hands. You know, you're not a carrot or an onion or something like that. They might teach you that in a university, but that's not what you're ever going to be. You're a human being. You took on the characteristics of your mom and dad. And so, just like that, people who are children of the devil take on the characteristics of the devil. People who are children of God take on the characteristics of God. So when Jesus Christ is talking to these folks, he says, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do." That's how you're going to behave. So they're characteristics of children. What are the characteristics of the devil's children? Well, if he conceives children in pleasure, then their lives will also be about pleasure. That's how they will run their lives. According to carnal desires, he says over there, he was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. So he's got lust of your father. You've got murder. You've got lies, carnal desires, resistance to the truth. And if you find yourself characterized by those things, just living out carnal desires, occasionally making it to a church service or something, but the bulk of your life is just carnal desires, you might want to rethink whether you actually are a child of God. Because what you've done, you have the characteristics of a father. And so those characteristics are either you're like your father, the devil, like Jesus Christ said, or you're like God the Father, who listens to the words of God, who abides in the truth, and these are the characteristics. There was over in 2, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Timothy, he talks about these two fellows, Jannes and Jambres, who always resist the truth. Always resist the truth is like the devil. He said the truth was never in him, or the truth wasn't in him, so he's a liar, he's the father of lies, he doesn't have the truth. So the truth is not in him, he resists it. And if you find yourself in that kind of shape, where the truth tries to get into your life, you know, that's what God's trying to do, is get the truth into your life. He doesn't hate you, he isn't trying to be mean to you, he isn't trying to make your life terrible, he's trying to help you with the truth. And so if you find that when the truth tries to get in there from the words of God, and you're constantly resisting it, here's the simple way people resist the truth. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. The truth shows up from the words of God, and you and I say, or you may say, or I may say something like, that's good for them, but I'm a little different. I'm the exception to the rule. Don't understand my life. And that's what we all say, you know. The Bible's good for everyone else to apply, but it doesn't really apply here to me. I've got a different thing going on here. The reality is, you're just resisting the truth that's trying to get in. The truth is trying to get in. And you're putting up this excuse, just like Jannes and Jambres. They resist the truth. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And so you create an alternative life or whatever to say, you know, I'm outside the Word of God, but I'm also a child of God at the same time. That's what he's just told these Pharisees. You're not of God because the words of God have no place in your life. Every time they try to show up, you push them away. And they don't have any place in you because you're not of God. And it's not saying that to be hateful. It's saying that to be truthful. The words of God don't have a place, so you can't say, I'm a child of God, but I don't really care what the Word of God says about anything. You know, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference what someone says they believe about the Bible. What makes a difference is what someone does about the Bible. And before you get mad about that, you would say the same thing about other religions. You guys say you're children of God, but you don't believe the Bible. Meaning, what comes out of your mouth doesn't really make that much difference. You're confessing something that isn't true. It doesn't line up with the Bible. It's something that makes you feel good about your life, but it doesn't line up with anything God said. And so when Jesus Christ says to those Pharisees, he says, look, if you were of God, the words of God would be in you. But they're not in you because you're not of God. And so every time the words of God try to get in, your characteristics, you take on the characteristics of the devil, who resists the truth, who's a liar, who doesn't want to have anything to do with the truth. And so he'll take the truth, he'll reframe the truth, he'll put a different perspective on the truth, he'll give exceptions to the truth, he'll give personal examples of why the truth doesn't apply here. That's the way the devil handles the truth. That's the characteristic of the devil. It says, but in James, I'll read this verse to you. Carnal desires, carnal thoughts, these are characteristics of Satan. It says in James, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Earthly, sensual, devilish. Earthly, it appeals to what's going on in the earth. Sensual, it appeals to the senses. Smell, see, feel. That's how the devil can get in there. Sensual, it's based on the senses. Well, devilish. Maybe you never equated those two things, sensual and devilish. Those two things are similarities there. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So these are just some characteristics of Satan's children, to those who have the devil as a father. Now, on the other hand, God has children. And when God has children, one of the things he says about his children is he makes a new creature out of them. He's not trying to drag something out that's already there. He's not trying to prey on the appetites of people. God is going to reveal and put something in you that didn't come from you, didn't originate with you. He says you're a new creature if you're in Christ. He says over in Colossians, we'll just look at it. Look over in Colossians chapter 3 and see this characteristic of the children of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, verse 10, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So children of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the author of the image of the child of God. He's a new man. He is trying to create new man in you if you've trusted him, if you've got your faith in it. And so one of the characteristics is the old man is put off, the new man is put on, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So you learn more and more about Jesus Christ. You grow in that just like you would grow as a child. You grow in knowledge. I tell you what, just a personal testimony, and I don't like doing them necessarily, but in the last 5 years of my Christian life, since being a pastor, since coming here from Corpus and becoming pastor, I have learned more about God, about Jesus Christ, about the Bible, than I could say I have ever learned before. I on a regular basis, I see things in the Bible, and it is just so much. I mean, some of you can relate to it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it have learned so much. There's so much growth, and it's like, man, I thought. You think, oh, I got it kind of figured out here. We got some of this stuff under our belt, and you know, I got the Bible kind of figured out a little bit. Man. Boy, was I wrong. I mean, there's just so much in this book. There's so much the Lord wants to give to his children. There's so much in here. It is such a blessing. I wish to God that every single one of y'all would be in full-time ministry so you could do the same thing. But I know it's not going to happen, but I wish you could. So you could sit down and spend time with the Bible, spend time with God, and learn these things that are just so refreshing and so convicting, honestly. Man, I get in there and I'm reading this stuff, and most times when I'm putting together a sermon, I'll give you, I don't want to say, let me tell you the truth here, like I've been lying the whole time, but just... To be honest with you, not that I'm not honest with you before, but To be honest with you, most times I get into the Bible, I personally don't feel qualified to teach the stuff that's in the Bible. I'm supposed to talk about Paul, who was in prison for being a Christian, who was beheaded, and I'm supposed to give you some kind of an analysis of this in 40 minutes on Sunday. Like, I've never been in that position. What can I possibly, and these are the regular conversations I have with the Lord. I'm not even qualified to talk about this. I'm talking about people who died for their faith. I'm talking about Jesus Christ who died on a cross. What am I qualified to tell you about what that's like? I have a relatively comfortable life. I mean, I get out of the oil field and all that stuff, but look, I didn't go out of the oil field and get into poverty or anything. I regularly don't feel qualified. And I think that's part of, and I know that's part of, this growth and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You learn, and it's convicting, it's confronting, it's comforting, it's helpful, and it is just, God is so good. He wants to be a help. We are so obstinate. The only thing that stands between the blessings of God and your life is our own will. We just regularly exert our own will against God, who tries to give and tries to give and tries to give. It is no wonder. It is no wonder that God will return and Jesus Christ will return to judge the earth for how good he has tried to be to people. And just reject and resist and push and push. But obedience to the Father, getting back to this, obedience to the Father is a characteristic. Jesus said one time, it's a characteristic of a child of God. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's different than saying my meat is to hear the Bible. My meat is to listen to the preaching. He said, my appetite is to do what God said for me to do. That's how I get fed. That's what Jesus Christ said is the appetite of being the only begotten Son of God. He said, my diet is to do what God the Father said. Now here's how we take that. Our diet is to figure out how to rightly divide the Bible and learn more about, you know, this thing and this thing. And, you know, hey, I know about this happening, this event in the Bible. That's good if you learn those things. But that's not a diet of anything. He did say, desire the sincere milk of the word. That should be part of just like a baby desiring milk. And if you don't have a desire for the word of God, you might want to really check on the fact that, or the question of whether you're even a child of God or not. Because just like a baby desires a mother's milk, just like a baby desires to eat, a child of God desires to eat. And if you don't desire to eat, I would submit to you, if you don't desire to eat of the Word of God, what you do desire is the pleasures of this life. And so those two things aren't going to be compatible. Jesus Christ said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Obedience to the Father is a characteristic. It is a characteristic of a child of God. Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word. So you've got some characteristics of the children. You've got God as a father, the devil as a father. And you've got the characteristics like father, like son. Now, how are they rewarded? What happens? What happens if you're a child of the devil? Where does that lead to? What happens if you're a child of God? Where does that lead to? Well, let's look at it. Satan's children, they are crowned in this world. One time the devil, he took Jesus Christ up to a high mountain, the Bible says, and he showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world. And he could do that. They're his. He's the God of this world. People want to say that Jesus Christ is running this world. If Jesus Christ is running this world, you and I don't want any part of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not running this world. The devil runs this world. He's the God of this world. Boy, when Jesus Christ runs it, it will be completely different. But the devil takes Jesus Christ up to a high mountain one time, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. The Bible says, in a moment of time, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. So the devil said, you see all this? I mean, you get on a high mountain, you can see kind of far. You get up there and you can see some cities. And I remember working up in Colorado and get up there and you can see some of the cities. You can see lots of stuff. The devil takes him up to this high mountain and he says, look, you see all this? I will give all this to you if you'll bow down to me. And that wasn't a lie. I shouldn't say that wasn't a lie. It wasn't because the devil couldn't do it. The devil has all of it to give. Now, he's probably not going to give it to anybody, but the point is the devil has it to give. The devil's children have their crown in this life. And once this life is over, they have no more crown. So whatever you get in this life, that's what you get from the devil. And I would say the devil is a terrible father. Satan's children are crowned in this world. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are for a season and ultimately cast into a lake of fire with their father. The Bible says over in Revelation, he says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know how the devil's children are named? They're named by their sins. You're an idolater, you're a liar, you're a murderer, just known by their sins. Don't have any names. They're just sinners. Cast into a lake of fire with their father. That's Satan's children. Pleasures of sin are for a season. The warning throughout the Bible. Don't chase sin. But on the other hand, God's children. What about God's children? Let me read you a couple verses. Romans chapter 8, he says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And not only they, talking about creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of, to wit, the redemption of the body. So the devil's children have their inheritance here. And whatever you have here, you'll have to give up. Whatever you accumulate here, you'll have to give to someone else. If it's not stolen by the government, if it's not taken in taxes, if it's not, you know, if you don't get bad health and can't pay bills and go bankrupt or whatever. Whatever's here is temporary. But this is the devil's kingdom. And this is how he pays his children. On the other hand, God is a father. He's going to make sure that everything that has come under the devil's influence will be judged and put under Jesus Christ. And his rewards aren't temporary. His rewards are forever. He doesn't have an expiration date on these rewards. And so he encourages and invites over and over in the Bible, like we said in Sunday school, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God's children are rewarded in the future physically. However, right now you're rewarded spiritually. I'll give you another example of that. Again, I'm doing personal stuff, but you know, it just makes sense to me. I could not quantify or put a measurement on the blessings of being a pastor and the privilege of being able to dig into the Bible and learn things on a regular basis. I couldn't put a measurement on it and say, well, you do this foot and you'll grow 3 feet and all that. You know what it is? It's spiritual. I can tell you of the joy. I can tell you of the comfort. I can tell you of the conviction. I can tell you of the direction. But I couldn't put a measurement on it. It's spiritual. I can't put a measuring tape out and say, well, you'll grow this much. Your biceps will grow this much if you do this much. And, you know, I couldn't do that. It's spiritual. God's physical rewards are later. However, he's willing to give some spiritual rewards right now. He said, Jesus Christ said, I go so that I can send a comforter to you. And surely he must have known somewhat about the Christian life if he defined the help he's going to send as comfort. Surely he knows what we're headed for. Surely he knows what his children are going into. He didn't say, I'm sending you a banker, or I'm sending you $1 million in the bank to help you get through this, or I'm sending you a new car or a new house, or I'm sending you a real estate agent. I'm sending you a comforter. How do you quantify that? That's spiritual help that God the Father is willing to give right now of himself to his children until he gives them their physical blessings in the future. You know what the Holy Spirit is? He's a comforter. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You're waiting now for a body. If you're saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, if you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior to take away your sins, you have faith in God as a Father to take care of you, you've taken on the characteristics of a child of God, you have the promises of God's children, you are looking forward to a new body, a new kingdom, new blessings physically. Remember, the devil, what he has to offer is what you can see right here. This is what he has. Whatever you can get the most of right here, that's what the devil has to offer. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. I'll give you my spirit right now. And then in the future, I'll give you the physical things. And those physical things don't have an expiration date. They don't go away. Give them to you forever. The crowning of the children, Satan's children, are crowned with temporary things, God's children with eternal things. Satan's children are crowned here and now physically, if they're crowned at all. God's children receive a comforter right here, right now, to endure hardness as a child of God, and then to look forward to the adoption of sons, whereby he changes this physical body into something that matches a child of God. Again, changes this physical body into what he has spiritually already done inside of you. He says, we have the spirit that cries, Abba, Father. Inside of me, I have this spirit that says, Father, help me. But I don't have the body that says that. And I know you know that, but I don't have the body that says that. I have a spirit that says that. I have a body that says, you don't need to do that. You don't need to follow God. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to listen to the Bible. Go watch this. Go do this. Go take your time with this. Go do that. Go eat this. Go drink that. Go whatever. That's what my body says. So my body doesn't match the spirit that I've been given. But one day it will. That's what you're looking forward to. That's the hope. That's the comfort. That's the promise. There are two fathers in the Bible, the devil and God the Father. You know which one's better. You know which one's better. Problem is, our lives just seem to be so carnally invested. When Jesus Christ says over there, back over there in John, when he tells those Pharisees or the folks around him, he says, ye are of your father, the devil. I'll take you back, go to verse 43. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Why can't you hear my word? Because you're of your father, the devil. You're consumed in your pleasure. And you can't hear anything I'm saying to you. Because nothing I'm saying to you matches your life. And so you just discount it. You fall asleep to it. You ignore it. You just out of sight, out of mind. We Facebook it, whatever. We're just out of it. And Jesus Christ says, you're not of God. Therefore, you don't care what God says. The devil's a father. God's a father. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father, the devil. Lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of himself. For he is the liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. I don't want to take too much more time on this, but Jesus Christ said, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Meaning, if I would have lied to you, you would have listened to me. If I would have lied to you, you would have liked that. But I tell you the truth and you're not interested in it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. There you go. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. You're not interested. It has no value to you because you're not of God. So here's the two scenarios. God is a father, the devil is a father. I hope this morning, if you don't have God as your father, you become a child of God. The Bible says, Galatians 3, we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you become a child of God. On the other hand, if you're a child of the devil, I pray you're honest enough to admit that. And admit your life lines up more with these Pharisees than it does with any child of God. The words of God don't mean that much. Your life is basically a carnal life of just living out carnal things. Every once in a while doing a religious thing. That's what the children of the devil do. They go to church. Jesus Christ is preaching in a temple of people who are in church. You're in church and you have the devil as your father. Two fathers, God and the devil. I pray God is your father, and as Sam comes, we'll have a little time of invitation.